Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's noon. That means it's time to hear from Andy Reid, brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others.
I appreciate the opportunity always that we have to play at GH Field at Arrowhead Stadium and the fans and how they go about welcoming in the opponent. So, again, my hat goes off to them. And then there were a lot of individual things. I mean, we can go through, but it's I just thought overall, I thought the coordinators, all three coordinators had a good plan going into this thing. I offensively, I mentioned how Nags utilized number one coming back, Xavier getting him back in the mix of things, I thought was impressive. The run game part of it, being able to get that established early, I thought was important against this crew. The offensive defensive lines, I thought most important was getting them started, and they were able to do that. I thought Spags on the defensive side had a nice plan there, again, against a very explosive offense, and that was relatively healthy. The defense was banged up just a little bit, but the the offense was pretty much intact, and coming out and being able to be strong against that group is always a plus. I thought linebackers, Bolton, he was in on a lot of plays, but most of all, it just the calls that he has to make. He's Spags' his quarterback, and for him to be able to work his way through all of that, I mean, it takes a lot of time and effort, and he does a great job with that. And I thought the back end stayed aggressive, which in the run game and the pass game, anytime you can hold 22 to just a few yards that he had, he's a tough dude, man. So, that was some of the special teams. What was solid. I mean, you saw some of the tackles and angles that we took that is so important on special teams, and whether it's blocking or tackling, being able to get yourself in the proper position. And Tobe does a great job with making sure that things are set up schematically where the guys can do that. And then the guys take such pride in it. And then I know Pat's accomplishment, my hat goes off to him for all that he's done. In his short career here, we're still young at 30. He's done a real nice job of setting all these records that he's done. Most of all, I love the way he brings the team into it. And that's a good thing. And he and Kels are kind of creeping up on being the old guys there. So Kels definitely is the older guy. And for him to come out and have a good day, I thought was good. Anyways, with that... and Chris, let me go back one more thing. Chris Jones, loses his aunt and goes down to the funeral, flies back on Sunday, and then jumps in and plays a heck of a game. I mean, the guy, he's something special. And, I really respect him for all that he does for the team, but also taking care of his family at this time is very important due to him. So with that, time's yours.
Let's start with Sam McDowell. Hey, Andy, wanted to ask you just about the offensive line. It seemed like the better pockets for Patrick yesterday. What did you think overall of how that group was?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job there. Andy had a good plan for this crew. I thought the young left side there, I thought stayed strong. And then the right side, I thought worked well together. I thought Creed probably had his best game. He's been pretty solid all along, but this game here, I thought he really played special.
And then also George Karloftis. I know that the first couple of weeks probably weren't what he wanted, but just what have you seen from him over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, George gets a ton of snaps. He plays almost the whole game, you know, every week, and very seldom comes out. Again, he brings that aggressive heartbeat, and even though he might not get home, he's always around, and he just keeps getting better. I mean, he's got a little bit of that diehard battery deal in him, so he keeps on going.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor.
Hello, Andy. Two guys. From a rookie standpoint that you guys have been playing more, and I'm just interested to see what your sort of level of excitement is about Noel Williams and Breshard Smith and where you might see their progress going throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, so both of them have got a little bit more time in this last couple of weeks. I know offensively Nags is just trying to increase Smith's reps every week and putting him in positions where he can do some things. So, and he seems to be handling it good. And then Williams, likewise, Spags has put him in and a little bit bigger role every week. And he seems to be stepping up. I know he had a couple nice physical plays in there, against some pretty good receivers. So that I liked what I saw there.
We'll go next to Sarin. Go ahead, Sarin.
A couple questions for you, Coach. First of all, on the fourth downs, is that kind of a pre-programmed, I know you guys go through all the different scenarios during the course of the week. How much of that is like, okay, these are the scenarios, this down and distance, this part of the field versus just your own personal feel for the game when they come up?
Yeah, We try to stay aggressive in that area, which that's why you're asking this question, and try to be relatively smart with the siren the best we can. So judgment obviously is a part of that, and Nags spends a ton of time on that with Andy Heck. They go over and crank that stuff out, and Tom Melvin's involved with that too. So they. And Corey. So they get in there and they kind of grind on what they see there. And then the pass game and the run game. And we've been able to do both and be successful on both, which has helped. And then it's just a matter of where we're at, the situation of the game. You've got to take that into consideration when you're doing it. But we've tried to stay aggressive. Pat's got a good feel on that too. When he's out there, we've got a lot of trust in him. Some of these things we're doing, he's got options on, and he's got to be spot on when we're doing them.
Kingsley, I know you kind of addressed the offensive line as a whole, but just specifically according to some of the grades, it looks like he maybe had his best game. What did you see specifically from him?
Yeah, he was very aggressive in the game. I thought the run game, really, that third quarter, he was really on fire there. So that was a good thing. And then the pass game, he was again solid there. I probably agree with that. Whoever's grading that, but yeah.
And then last, 66% was the snap count for Travis Kelce. I know sometimes guys are gassed and they just kind of walk over to the sideline and kind of take themselves out. But do you have kind of a sweet spot on where you think, how often he should be in there now in his career?
Yeah. That's probably a good area. I thought he really played well. And in both the run and the pass game. I thought he looked strong all the way through. He's in great shape right now, Saran. That's the important part. He came back and he'd really trained hard and aggressive for this thing. So, and he's such a big part of it. Not only his effort, but the mentality that he comes in these games with. He's all in all the time. And then it's my responsibility. He gets mad at me, but it's my responsibility to, you know, make sure that we don't get too many reps in there, you know, that we give him at least a blow here and there. He'd play every play if he had his choice.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney.
Thanks, Ed. I'll just have a second if you don't mind. Coach, pretty successful in the red zone in this game. I guess, what did you see in that regard that maybe led to some of that?
Yeah, so David Girardi, does a lot of the red zone stuff and puts it together. And I thought he really did a nice job with just getting some just good stuff in there and stuff that Pat felt comfortable with, stuff that the backs and the receivers felt comfortable with. And, he does a nice job every week with it, but we just had more opportunities, it seemed like, this week to be able to utilize it. And it worked out well.
And then in the past 2 weeks, it seems like the run game has kind of come on in the second half. Any rhyme or reason that you see for that? Maybe the slower start in the first half, and then is it just a matter of a rhythm, or is it anything more than that?
Yeah, listen, the problem, Pete, is like if one guy is off, there's a problem. So the more those guys play together, I think it should improve as we go. This group we're playing this week is pretty stiff in the run game. But again, it's a nice challenge for our guys. But you got some young guys in there that haven't played a lot together. And I think that just the more reps they get, game reps are so important on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go next to Jesse. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Andy. Every team's different. Every season's different. I just wondered through 4 weeks, about a fourth way through, just big picture, what you've learned about this team.
Yeah, they'll fight you. I mean, that's maybe it's not all pretty, but they're going to keep fighting. And when you fight and study and practice hard and do all those things, you're going to make progress. And I've seen that from them. They haven't really flinched on some of the negative things that have gone on or negative plays. They just get back on the horse and go, you know.
Go next to Matt Derrick.
Hey, Coach, one housekeeping question first. This week, Nazi Johnson and Jake Breeningstool would be eligible to be designated to return or at least start to practice windows. Where do those two guys stand?
Yeah, they're doing good. Matt, I haven't hit Veach on all this and or Rick or the docs on it. So, but I know they're doing well in their rehab up to as they've been working here. I mean, I get those updates and they seem to be doing good. I don't know the move that we'll make there or if we make a move.
And, you know, now you've had a chance to see it in action with Gardner Minshew being a part of that quarterback group, what's he added to the quarterback room? And what's the dynamic between him and Patrick, especially Gardner as a sounding board for Patrick?
Yeah, Gardner is he's a brilliant guy, first of all. I know he's got the mustache and the hair and all that stuff that goes with it, but he's brilliant. And he's got such a good feel for things as far as the game goes. And I think it's great for Pat to be able to talk with him. And, he's been a starter. He understands when to speak, when not to speak, when to, you know, jump in or not jump in. And I've appreciated having him here. He's a lot of fun to be with too. He's got quite a wit.
We'll go ahead and finish this out with Todd Lebo.
Coach, I just have a kind of a league question. Last night we had a tie, 40-40 in that game. And you've only been a head coach in one tie. That was the old rules. I know you've been around the competition committee and stuff. Are the overtime rules now, is this is this where they should be, the 10 minutes and two possessions? Is this, are we just going to have some ties sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, listen, nobody wants a tie, I don't think. That's what goes on. You're juggling a lot of different things when you do this, Todd. So you've got TV and how that works, and the media is a big part of it. And then you've got time restrictions, so on and so forth, that you've got to, these guys all have to look at. That's not my world, but I know that it's not just a matter of, hey, we can play forever. It's not, that's not where we're at right now. And I think you take the health of the player in there too, and you start tagging on a bunch of overtimes. That's a tough thing to do. So they save it for you for the, you know, for the playoffs, and until then, you know, if you get a tie, you get a tie, and you move on from there. But there are a lot of things that they have to consider.
Thank you, coaches.
All right, so that's Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan on Mondays. It's brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others. A couple things. One, and I know we'll talk about this more as the week goes on and maybe tomorrow, but it sounded like when he was asked about Travis Kelce's snap percentage and everything,
yep.
Which was 66%, and some of that was also, remember, late in the game. There was no reason to have him out there. But he basically acknowledged what last week I feel like they wouldn't, which was when he was asked last week about the little dust-ups on the sideline and said it's not a big deal, but didn't really give a reason like what the argument was about. I feel like if, and we can play the audio tomorrow and dive deeper in this, it felt like he basically answered the question this week.
When he takes
which
him off
is
field.
Like, he's like, look, he wants to be in there every snap, and he's like, he gets angry at me when I pull him off the field. I'm like, so is that the reason why we see the dust? It's just that he wants to be out on the field more? Is that
feels,
the whole thing?
Feels most likely. And he was obviously trying to give Matt Nagy a ton of props
yes.
this week, and I'm sure it's because he heard the noise of all the people being critical of what this offense has looked like the first 3 weeks before that and the criticism Nagy has received as a result of it. Like I said, you get some credit, you get some blame. I just didn't like that we'd gotten to the point where people were like, well, it's all Andy, so Nagy gets no bearing. And I'm like, no, he gets some of both.
Yeah,
he gets some of the credit when things are going well and some of the blame when things are going bad.
Yeah, my thing with that is just bit. As long as that's what it, my issue sometimes is I feel like when things are bad, everybody says it's the OC's fault. And when things are good, Andy's just the genius. And so it's the reverse of what you were saying a little bit, where it's like, obviously he's to blame when the offense is not going well along with Andy. But I feel like
I feel like we've taken it too far where we're just like, we can't blame Nagy at all because it's Andy's offense.
No, I don't think it's that. But I think it's gone to the extreme of where now when things are well, though, then it's he has no role in that either.
No, I don't think that's the case. Fair either. I just think Andy must have heard it because he mentioned Matt Nagy 14 times.
I mean, he also gave Spags. I think he opened up the whole presser giving props to Tobe and Spags
all
and
the coordinators.
Nagy and all that. It was a complete win. It was a really, really solid win. We'll get back into that tie stuff he was asked about at the end in the 1 o'clock hour, talking about the Sunday night game and the tie stuff. Also, don't forget Mondays, our friends over at 30 Hop. Great day to head to 30 Hop, $5.99 classic burgers at both locations, Lee Summit, and of course, down the street from us, Merriam's, a great Grand Station area that they got built up there with some nice shops, restaurants, including 30 Hop. They're your new go-to American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, unbeatable happy hour. You can stop in for some lunch, stay for happy hour. 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio.
Good patio week, I'm going to say.
Very much so.
If you're thinking you want outside for a $5.99 burger, this feels like this is a patio week, no doubt about it. So definitely get involved in that. Shall we? On a Monday, we occasionally take a look around the league. Shall we find out whose stock is up?
Yeah.
Whose is down?
I'll start with a little stock up. Ashton Jeanty.
Oh, Boise State. Oh, here we are.
It never should have been down, though.
I don't know, man. He's pretty bad those first few weeks.
It never should have been down. Like, here's why it shouldn't have been down, though. There was a lot of criticism toward him for not producing, being a top pick, and I understand it, but I don't have the exact analytic numbers in front of me, but someone did a deep dive on essentially on 80%+ of the snaps, he was hit behind the line of scrimmage, as in the O-line stinks. Didn't even have a chance. Yesterday, he got a little bit of space, and you saw the athleticism, made some guys miss, ran over a few, broke a tackle on that long touchdown run that he had against, I get it, the Bears. But, you know, stock is up, even though it really should not have changed all that much.
So
three-touchdown game versus the Bears, by the way.
Bears' run defense is pretty bad.
The Bears did win.
And they did win.
Blocked punt.
We ended up going 4-1. And Pick'em, we're 9-1 in the last...
Circa Millions.
Circa Millions, we're 9-1 in the last 2 weeks. We're hot.
Makes the first week that much more annoying.
Let's ignore that for a minute. Just be happy with our 9-1 the last 2 weeks.
Even Max Crosby was asked about Ashton Gentry, of course, on the his teammate on the defensive side of the ball. He said he looked awesome. Everybody has their opinions about bleep in September. Now they're going to jump on the bandwagon. It happens every year. He's an incredible player. He's going to keep getting better. I love the way he works. He went on to call him an animal.
Ooh, wow. An animal, huh?
That's right.
That's always a good sign for running back. Look, that's his best game of his career by a mile.
Sure.
He'd obviously been quite bad. He still has some work to do. I saw some of the advanced numbers still say that yards after contact could certainly be better for him. But he looked real good in that game against the Bears. My stock up actually matters to this week a little bit.
All right.
Liam Cohen as just a head coach. What's funny is it's not even for the reasons I thought it was going to be going into the year. We thought Liam Cohen could make Trevor Lawrence look better, maybe take Brian Thomas to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas only has 170 yards receiving so far year. Slow start for him. Slow start for Trevor Lawrence. It's been defensively where they have been significantly better. They're in the top five of defensive points per game so far allowed this year. I'll give Liam Cohen credit. This is a team that is pretty much, I think, underperformed by national media expectations any given year. Off to a 3-1 start. Could be 4-0. They're beating up on bad teams.
Go
and they
in
got the Chiefs
South.
This week.
Go in the AFC South.
They win this week. They're going to make a. They're going to really plant their flag of.
I hope they don't win this.
Of weird. I know, but I'm just saying. Then his stock will skyrocket. But because the South is so winnable, Liam Cohen stock up. I feel like he's looked. He hasn't looked like a buffoon.
He's feeling good. You know, he's out there barking with Robert Saleh after wins now as well. I mean, it's getting fun. Mr.
Duval
looking good.
My stock up is Kyle Pitts. He is...
Have you used Kyle Pitts before? Did you use him for something else?
No.
This is not the first time you've mentioned Kyle Pitts. That used to be me on this show.
I don't think I've done it for stock up. I think in terms of an all 32 I have, because all right. Michael Penix is not lying, did not lie when he said he's going to get more involved. Kyle Pitts is number 6 tight end right now in terms of total yards.
Pretty
with
good.
Only 20 receptions. Other guys have more who are ahead of him currently. He has no less than 4 receptions in any game this season. He's targeted more. He's scoring touchdowns. It feels like he's a lot more involved in the offense, and I think that if you hung on to Kyle Pitts' stock, then I think you're feeling a little bit better about yourself, given how things have looked this season in comparison to the last 2 years.
No, look, he's had a pretty nice year. The Falcons have been a real mystery team to me. They sometimes look awful,
and
other times look really good. I'm like, I don't know what you are, and that's fine.
They're 2-2.
I'm very confused about what you are. And they looked awful in the two games that they lost, and really good in the two games that they won.
I think Kyle Pitts, though, like if you bought the stock at the beginning, you're still way down. Like, the stock might be up, but if you bought that stock when he got drafted, you're still in the red quite a bit. It's
you just held on to it, hoping it was going to turn around.
Yeah,
it's about 50% of its start value.
I think the original stock price, you're still probably at least 50% off.
But if you bought the dip, you know, bought low on Kyle
true.
Pitts, it's up.
If you bought him back in April, you're up a few bucks.
In fairness, what were we expecting out of Kyle Pitts when he was picked?
He was a top 10
pick. Hang on.
Everyone thought he was going to be the next Travis Kelce.
Hang on. I understand that. But Tyler Warren is also picked inside the top 15. He looks like the goods. Brock Bowers is also picked inside. So
But
he's
and
right
Pitts
there.
Pitts never did.
But no, he is right there with them currently.
He was drafted 3 years
ago. I understand this. He's matching. He's matching expectations then currently to when he was picked. If he is around Trey McBride right now.
No.
I just gave you the numbers.
Drew, you're basing it off of this year, 4 games in, and acting like that makes up for the past 2 years where he stunk.
But he's within the group that he's supposed to be in, so it doesn't matter that he didn't get. He's there.
He also
he
has
is currently
one
there.
Touchdown. Not as many. You said touchdowns.
That's not how this works. You don't draft a guy in the top 10 and then say 4 years into his career he finally started playing well. Like, this is not a quarterback where you're like, it takes time to develop. If he turns out to be a great quarterback, it's fine.
The fact that he's there, it doesn't matter
yes,
what.
Yes, it does.
He's
also the final year of his contract.
He's also 6, not 4. Not that that's a huge difference, but, I mean, it's
him being an all-time tight end would not have made the difference in Atlanta the last two
seasons.
That's
not the argument you're having.
So I think that the fact that he's in that group now, it doesn't matter. If he's in the same grouping as Brock Bowers and Trey McBride, then I just gave you.
He's not.
Drew, for 4 games.
There's no GM that would say Kyle Pitts is just as good as Brock Bowers at this point.
I'm not
no
saying
chance.
Brock Bowers has been really bad.
He has the same amount of catches as Trey McBride and Brock Bowers this year and is off by 20 yards. Really he is as productive as Trey McBride has been this season, minus 20 yards or 30 yards, whatever it is. It's really not that much of a gap.
I'm not saying
Kyle Pitts has had a 3-year head start and is stunk
for this exact moment.
But it doesn't matter if they get to that point eventually, is what I'm saying, which is why I think
his stock is up.
Let's get the stock down before we run out of time. John Harbaugh's time with the Ravens, stock is down. This could end up being we talk about it all the time with the guys who just run out of time. If this season goes south for the Ravens, why can't it be the last year of Andy Reid? Why can't it be in Philly? Why can't it be the Mike Tomlin that we've discussed all this time? They have been running short of expectations for years in Baltimore. At some point, does the time just run out on the clock on Harbaugh?
I mean, he's not getting fired at the end of this year.
No, I'm just saying, do they part way? You know, I'm just saying his stock down with time with the Ravens is starting to, his stock is down there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, the organizational stock is down. All the time. The organizational stock is down. We were having the conversation earlier about his window not just Lamar, but just the team and where the injuries are and everything. Yeah, I mean, Harbaugh has still been one of the best coaches in the league for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, no doubt.
But
Andy was too. And then, I mean, if you have a couple of bad years in a row, your stock can change a lot. What's yours before we run out of time?
Yeah, stock down is the Dallas clock operator. You got to get the home field advantage there, man. You got to help out your home team. That 1 second, nobody's going to notice. If this game was in Green Bay and it was the Cowboys needing 1 second, there's no way that homegrown Packers fan clock operator is not letting that extra second tick off the clock.
That man is, you know, he's a man of his word. He said he'd do the job fair. He's doing the job fair. You think he's getting fired? How does the clock operator work?
He's not getting fired.
Does Jerry have it? Can you fire that person?
I mean, that's a team employee, right?
Is that a team employee or an NFL employee?
I don't think so. I don't think it's an NFL employee.
Oh boy. That's a team employee. Could you imagine if he did fire him?
There's a game day crew, you know? I'm guessing it's like a game day. It might be a quote-unquote neutral party, but you're still living in Dallas. You're telling me that guy doesn't have some allegiance to the Cowboys?
Oh, man, I would not tell for a few weeks, I would not tell people that was my job.
And this is someone that had the Packers. This is not me, like, complaining about a
NFL
bet.
NFL employee. Yeah. Can't do anything about it, you know?
But he's based in Dallas.
He obviously operates a clock for every game in Dallas.
They're not flying clock operators to different cities every weekend.
He probably maybe grew up a Danbury Check. Maybe grew up a Packers fan.
We're gonna find out he's from Wisconsin. That would be a scandal. That would be a full on scandal. That's stock down. Here on Cody and Gold. All right, up next, let's talk more about Lamar Jackson. You brought up Harbaugh, but let's talk about Lamar and bigger picture for the Ravens. Plus, the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. We do that each and every day right around 12:45 or so here on the show. Don't forget Sports Talk on 96.5. The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You mentioned Harbaugh, Cody, during Stock Up, Stock Down. Let's talk more about the Ravens now in Lamar Jackson, because it clearly looked like a quarterback for the second straight week that was flustered, that a defense was getting the best of him. He had 7 sacks, we all know, the week before. The Chiefs got after him. I'm not saying he doesn't have a hamstring strain. I think he is hurt. But he did not look like a guy that was fighting to get back in the game. It looked like he was throwing in the towel a little bit. The Chiefs frustrated him. He knew his defense wasn't stopping the Chiefs. He knew the game was over. And basically, you know, kind of just gave up there. You know, didn't really fight to get back in, which I was surprised to see from a quarterback that's won an MVP in this league. And it's a Lamar Jackson-led offense and team that they don't have reinforcements coming. That's the difference for pick, whether it's the Chiefs or any other team that you think is underachieving or thought were going to be better. Some of those teams you say, okay, you know, the Niners have all these injuries, and the Niners, by the way, still have 3 wins, but they're, you know, they got all these injuries, or you point to the Chiefs and say they don't have Rashee Rice or whatever. You can come up with reasons why maybe their performance is the performance. We know the Ravens' injuries are ridiculous at this point in time. That's true. But some of those guys aren't coming back. And they were also, 2 weeks ago when they were pretty healthy, they also were struggling on defense. So this story for Baltimore this year, the division in the AFC North is absolutely up for grabs. Pittsburgh's in the driver's seat. I don't think they're going to run away with it, because I'm not convinced that the Steelers are, frankly, as good as their record is. Like, I think they're taking advantage of what they should be. They're playing, you know, Justin Fields and Carson Wentz for 2 of their wins. Good for them. They won those games.
We can get to the bigger picture with Lamar. As it sits for this year's team, I will not be taking the Ravens seriously as a contender until proven otherwise. I'm not saying they can't re-enter the conversation, but they aren't in it right now. And I will no longer be taking excuses from the Bills or the Ravens or the Bengals or any of these teams, unless it's quarterback, as it relates to injuries. The Chiefs last year without their number one, number two wide receiver, their starting corner for their second corner for a stretch of time. They didn't have their left tackle or their, sometimes players are missing. And the Chiefs still won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl. So you can win football games and be hurt. They are, as sits, the worst defense in the NFL. I don't know if that happened. Some of that is injury, sure. Some of it is bad roster construction or players who aged or whatever the hell happened. But they are no good. They have no pass rush and they cannot guard in the secondary. Bad combo. And they certainly are showing as a result of that. So until they prove to be a serious contending team who can beat good teams again, I'll just be putting them to the side. And right now, there's only one team to worry about in the AFC. That's the Bills. Until now, it's Chiefs and Bills, and I'm not going to worry about anyone else until they prove worthy of being worried about. In the long run, the bigger issue is, the more I watch Lamar Jackson, and maybe it's because it's specifically what he's done against the Chiefs, the more I watch him in these games, he has withered in multiple games against Kansas City. He looks like a shell of himself in these games. And it doesn't look like a guy who's ever going to get over the hump. That's what it looks like. Right now, it is just starting to feel like this compounding problem of, are you ever going to get past the, like, these teams? Are you ever going to, like, step up your game in a big spot? I know I'm not saying he's never played good in a single game against any of them, but he's played consistently bad in more of them than he has the other way.
Look, he is judged solely at this point of his career based on what he does or doesn't do in the postseason. That's the reality. When you reach the level that he has, right, he's won an MVP. We all know he's one of the best quarterbacks in football, period. He's judged on postseason performance, and he, as a team, has not gotten it done. You know, Josh Allen, it's not about regular season accomplishments anymore. It's about, can he get the Bills to a Super Bowl? For Mahomes, it's been that way for a while, and he's actually done it. Lamar Jackson, the question I have about their team and with Harbaugh and where the roster's at now is their window, maybe you thought it was 3 or 4 years down the road. Is it closing quicker than we thought? Is it a 2 or 3 year window for them? Just given Lamar Jackson and his style of play, he's not going to be running around like that when he's 37. Okay. Like, that's just not going to happen. I don't care how unbelievably talented, most mobile quarterback we've ever seen in our lives. That's all true. I don't think he can do it when he's 36 or 37. He will have to play a completely different style of football. He will lose his effectiveness. I'm sorry. That's just, I believe that's going to happen. And I don't think there's really any evidence to suggest that won't happen in 5 or 6 years. The question
is, probably be a good running quarterback, but not this level. Yeah.
Is the window going to close quicker than we think as the organization and as a roster? I mean, Derrick Henry, they only got like a year or so left of that. Okay. Like, so they will not have that dynamic backfield combo for much longer.
And he has not been nearly as good this year.
You know, tight end Mark Andrews is going to be retiring here very soon. He doesn't have any years left. You know, you look on the defensive side of the ball.
They got some young guys.
They've
there,
got
but
Kyle
they're
Hamilton
not, they're not much
and
pass rush.
Marlon Humphrey. I don't know how old he is now, but Kyle Hamilton's going to be around for a while. My point is just like their best shot was last year and the year before.
I don't disagree.
And there's a chance that it may not happen this year, the way things are trending. And then next year, everybody's a year older. You know, all these things, you have to strike quick. It's why it's so important, especially when you're on a rookie contract for a quarterback, to get it done. Things are tougher when everybody's making more money on the roster and all that. Yesterday, I was just disappointed if I was a Ravens fan watching Lamar, because I felt individually, to me, he kind of just threw in the towel.
He might genuinely be hurt, and we'll find out as the injury reports and practice and all this stuff. Look, if he just practices like normal, even if he's a limited participant, well, they didn't even fight hard enough to be in that game. And it is weird to bail on a game for injury with like 3-4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Golden wasn't even the fourth quarter. They were down 3 scores, but it wasn't even the fourth quarter. Their team can score in buckets based on any other portion of the season. So like, they had to at least have some confidence they were capable of scoring points based on the way that they had been doing it at any other point in the year. It was hard. And I don't know, because I'm not in the inner working. From the outsider's perspective, when you watch that broadcast, it looked like the man quit. It looked like Lamar Jackson. It looked like he just said, I don't want to do this game anymore, and we're losing, and I'm done.
Because he's in his own head.
And I don't want to do it. I don't know if
he knows
that.
He struggles against Mahomes in Spags.
When he said, I think he's my kryptonite, for the rest of time, whenever he plays the Chiefs, because against the Bills, he plays fine. He plays good against the Bills. Whenever he plays the Kansas City Chiefs, he will always, for the rest of his career, be in his head.
Spags.
As soon as you say, Mahomes is my kryptonite, it is everything. As soon as he's spoken into existence, even if it was a joke, that's something that you think at least to yourself, he believes it a little bit enough to say it. And I think that is something that affects him more than maybe we're willing to just say, because it's not like, Lamar, for him to quit or for him to come out in the middle of the game, he wasn't playing that great anyways. I think he's in his head. I think he's completely and totally in his head whenever he plays against his team. And Spags knows how to get to him, of course.
Like, I mean, of course, so did Joe Burrows, and obviously he had turf toe. So, like, sometimes the injuries can look worse than they – or, like, look like nothing.
I haven't seen enough.
But he was still playing bad before then. It's like he was playing good before. I mean, yeah, to me, it doesn't – it's pre-injury. He still wasn't playing good, and I think it's for the same reason.
We haven't seen an update yet to find out, like, how severe the hamstring strain is. Who knows? Maybe he was – you know, let's put it this way. He was not listed on the injury report, so – you know, heading into the game. So this is not
if he
like
was dealing with a hamstring injury. Then
they hit it or whatever. Yeah. I mean, the kryptonite thing, remember, was in reference to the Chiefs as a whole, not Mahomes is his kryptonite. It's that the Chiefs are his kryptonite. And so that's all Steve Spagnuolo.
He is now 1-5 career against Kansas City, which is obviously pretty bleak, in 6 games. And he completes 59% of his passes.
It's not good.
It's the worst against any opponent. He has 6 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. But more importantly, and this is what, and he's been sacked 14 times, which is the most, second most any opponents had sacked him, other than the Cleveland Browns, who are in their own division, and the Steelers, sorry, guys, third most. He sacked them more, the Chiefs sacked him more than the Cincinnati Bengals do. They're the same division. They play twice a year. And so the issues of where they are, it's like, this is why the hump part of it is important for me. Like, you and I all know that somebody in the triumvirate behind Patrick Mahomes, the Burrow, Allen, Lamar Jackson, someone's not getting a ring. Someone's getting left out in the cold. That's just reality. The math will ruin someone's chances of getting it. They're not all getting one and holding hands off to the Hall of Fame. Someone's not getting it. And the reason why I become more likely to just say it's Lamar Jackson is these games and the frustration he shows in these games and that Spag seems to get him. And then the playoffs, that they don't get to as many big games because he is a great regular season quarterback. That's inarguable. But in the big spots, he's come up the least amount, I think, of the three, right? Of the Burrow, Allen, Jackson.
Yeah, because Allen, we all know the 13-second game. That wasn't because Josh Allen played poorly. I mean, that was just the Chiefs had 13 seconds, and Mahomes was ridiculous on the drive. So I would agree with that. Actually, in the Josh Allen losses to Mahomes, Josh Allen has played very, very well. Lamar Jackson losses to the Chiefs, he has not played well. So I would agree with that assessment.
And they always seem, and like somebody's mentioned over on Twitch too, it's just the Chiefs are really good about getting them completely out of their game. Lamar never runs as much. They never run Derrick Henry as much. They're like a completely different team. They're just like out of sorts anytime they get up against Kansas City. How many carries? By the way, looked like Derrick Henry was going to run pretty well there. First 4 or 5 carries he took for them. And then never again?
913-586-7965. Someone on the text line for the 913 says Lamar did throw for 41 touchdowns last year. Again, this is where Lamar is judged now, though. It's on postseason success and getting over the hump.
So that is a great regular.
He's an MVP award winner. He's a consensus top 5 quarterback, top 3 quarterback for
should've
some.
Like, I mean, be a 3-time MVP.
I mean, the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer when his career is done, whether he wins the Super Bowl or not. Lamar Jackson is going to be a Hall of Famer. So the convo is not that he stinks. That's not what we're saying. That is the window closing. Can he win the big games? That's the fair conversation to have, I think, about him. Nobody's saying he stinks. My goodness. There's a very real chance he wins another MVP before his career is over.
He's genuinely great. And maybe that comment was based on the idea that you said his game won't be the same when he can't run. But that's part of what makes him a good passer.
I believe that. Yes.
He's passed a lot more. Like last year in particular was where he evolved a lot as a.
He still ran for 1,000 yards last year.
When he's 36 years old and is not the run threat, I'm saying that'll cause a problem for him. That's all.
No, it might. And like, you know, obviously some of his threatening to run is what makes things open up in the passing game. And historically, the guys who have made it longer, play longer in the league into deeper age are not the mobile guys. They're the pocket passers. They're the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady's, Peyton Manning's of the world. They're the guys who stand back there and throw it. And so we'll see as his career goes. I'm just starting to think like in those, I don't know, man, it's tough. It is tough.
Some people are arguing that Lamar's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Yes, he's going to be. Come on.
I mean, we know how the Hall of Fame works. Yes, he will.
Lamar Jackson will absolutely be in the Hall of Fame.
He's a 2-time MVP winner. I mean, I'd have to look.
Somebody's never won a big game. That's not how that works, though.
Something. Philip Rivers might get in the Hall of Fame, and he's never won a big game.
Lamar Jackson will be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. It is less of a debate than. Like, Eli Manning's got 2 rings, and people want to debate Eli, or people want to debate Philip Rivers. Lamar Jackson doesn't even have to go to a Super Bowl and he will be a Hall of Famer.
Without looking, do you think that there's a multi-time MVP winner in the NFL that has not made the Hall of Fame?
Probably not.
Quarterback-wise, I don't think so. No chance.
I mean, I just...
Any position, yeah, probably not.
It seems pretty unlikely. I mean, I don't want to say for sure. Peyton Manning has the most. I remember he had five, and I think Aaron Rodgers was around that same number, four or five. So, like, I mean, we know they're either in the Hall of Fame or will be in the Hall of Fame. Here are the multi-time...
Every retired quarterback with multiple MVPs is already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, okay. That's all we need to know. He's on a very short list, by the way. Very short list.
But, so if that's the case, if Josh Allen wins another MVP, will be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Josh Allen.
He'll also be in the Hall of Fame.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, all three will be Hall of Famers. Yes.
Burrow have to be in the field more. He's the one you can't say for sure yet, but everyone else.
He's on pace.
Yeah, he just got to be on the field.
Right.
We could bring on 10 national experts this week, and I would think at least 9 of the 10, if not all 10, would agree that Mahomes, Lamar, and Allen will eventually be Hall of Famers. Mahomes is already one. He could retire tomorrow. Lamar and Josh Allen got to play a little bit more, but they will be Hall of Famers. Yes.
Every single multi-time, so they're all quarterbacks, the multiple-time MVPs except for one. That's Jim Brown, who won it 3 times. Every single player who's won multiple MVPs in NFL history is an active Hall of Famer, or none of us disagree, will immediately become one. Like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Like, we'll just instantly be Hall of Famers. Look, the biggest question might have been Kurt Warner because of his limited time as a starter.
Random question.
As in limited compared to the rest.
Yeah.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. You see the best in KC. Remember, visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965 or YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. You can live stream the show 4 hours every single day. See our faces over on the YouTube stream. Like and subscribe. Get to the top of your feed. Question I actually have today is a sports-related question. Not going completely off the wall with you guys today. Very simple sports-related question. Gardner Minshew comes in that game. Is it okay to turn the Chiefs game off right then? Because I'll be honest, I didn't want to watch it anymore. I was done. The game was now boring. Patrick Mahomes had already dominated. Backups were in. I was no longer interested in what that football game had to offer.
What'd you turn it to?
I was more interested in watching Red Zone or the close finishes of other games. There are other things. I didn't want to watch the Chiefs game anymore. Seemed dull now because they'd already kicked their ass and there was other good football on. Is it okay as any fan? Are fans allowed to turn off the game at that point? Is it fair or foul to just flip it off? I put it on dual screen because I felt like I wasn't allowed to turn it off. So I put it on split screen.
You're obligated.
Yeah, look, you're allowed
split screen, no audio in the second half of the fourth quarter. We just rode that thing out. But like nothing interesting was happening in the game anymore.
Yeah, you're obviously allowed to do whatever you want. I would say Red Zone on the multi-screen, totally acceptable in that spot. Now, I wouldn't have turned the game off altogether. You got to still have the game visible. And also, especially when for weeks, we've had conversations and you've said, I just want a game where I can just sit back and relax and not. Yeah. And then they finally give you one and you turn the channel.
Well, not till the fourth quarter. They had me till
then.
You got
to at least have the TV on. Like, if you had multiple TVs.
I saw Gardner Minshew, I'm like, I'm out. I don't have 2 TVs.
Okay.
I just have the one. So I'll do multi-view sometimes in YouTube TV.
There you go.
So I did that. I went off the antenna, which is how I watch the Chiefs games.
Yeah.
And I went to multi-screen. Because I decided, I was like, I don't know.
It's been way too long. Like, she's dominated somebody.
Is that it?
Yeah.
If this was every week, would it be more excusable to just be like,
I think so.
Minshew's in, it's like, what am I watching for?
Yeah.
I don't care if Justice Hill runs for 70, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No, the game was over, but I think it's been a while. You know, enjoy the vibes around that whole
thing.
Someone
says a true fan watches the whole thing. I mean, really?
Someone says they took a nap. Someone says they fell asleep after the Tyquan Thornton touchdown. Someone else asked about Bad Bunny. We will talk about Bad Bunny again in the 1 o'clock hour, I promise.
From 816, I totally agree. Cody, I wanted to watch the Raiders lose. some of the other games were close, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, well, I know CBS isn't going to switch off of this Bears-Raiders game because it's local. They would have switched off. By the way, that's the true test of when I think you can turn it off. If this was a non-local game, would CBS have switched off the game? The second Gardner Minshew was in. We're going to take away just for a quick second. We're going to take you out to Bears Raiders where we got a close one. They would have switched away.
Yeah.
CBS would have switched the damn game. So I think I'm okay.
Yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan, I think you have the game still visible some way, somehow, or you're listening on the radio still, one of the two.
Does it count if a lot of Chiefs fans went to the NASCAR race instead of watching the game entirely?
You were there.
I was there.
I will say, Drew,
And if the Bengals were playing, I would also DVR the game.
If I were you, I would have. I'm surprised you didn't DVR to catch the entire Chiefs Ravens game. I would have definitely done that. Because I like look,
you got to go. That's,
family
that's
stuff comes up. Sometimes I have to like zone, go other places. Yeah,
yeah, that was a good spot for Red Zone or the multi view late in that game.
I mean, you weren't.
I mean, I had I mean, on my computer in the press box, I had Red Zone open as well, so I could glance over. So I mean,
the whole time or just
no. Okay. Late in the game, same thing.
So even you were like
late in the game. I had Red Zone on the laptop at that point.
I think I went to the best event in Kansas City yesterday.
No, you didn't.
Bar none.
Chiefs just had their most impressive win
in terms of. Entertaining Cody. Cody got bored during the game.
I wasn't bored until the very end.
You got bored. Drew, here's the thing, though. During the game.
Drew, but here's the problem.
You got bored.
I can just tell you right now, I'd be real bored at a NASCAR race.
You missed out on a hell of a finish.
I can't even see the whole thing.
I'm sure it was a ton of fun. I know that's your thing, so I'm honestly not trying to hate.
It was a really good crowd. There are a lot of people, a lot of Chiefs fans out there.
I will once again say, though, this is the only issue I have with it. Much like the atmosphere comment from a few weeks ago, you cannot say you were at the best sporting event in Kansas City.
Hey, text line agrees with me.
Yet again,
having never been.
You still have not gone to Arrowhead. Compare.
That doesn't matter. I said the game stunk. I went to the best event in the city yesterday in terms of entertaining, full on for the entire time, was the NASCAR race yesterday, hands down.
Okay.
That game was over, and in the middle of the third quarter, as soon as Lamar Jackson went out, there was no need. For anybody, you already knew how that game was going.
And not until mid-third quarter was it, like, dead to rights dead.
All right.
Not until, because it was 20-10 at half. So, I mean, like, they were up, and I definitely felt like they were
going to win. What about the first hour and a half of the race, though?
Oh, I mean, I think it was great.
Isn't that the same as the end, though? They're just, like, driving in a circle, and nothing really matters?
No, because the end of the race, obviously, things ramp up even more. Like, you know, the same as, a team can...
Yeah,
like things ramp up in the second half of a game that's close. Things ramp up in the mic.
We already had a disagreement earlier. I'm trying to hold back on this one. We already had a disagreement once this hour.
And again, if people enjoy NASCAR, it's fine. I know I wouldn't likely enjoy it. And I've seen races.
The best moment of the day yesterday was in the city was the end of the NASCAR race compared to.
I feel like they're always close to the end of the Kansas Speedway.
The thing went.
I feel like we've run into this. Didn't they win by like an eyelash like 2 years ago? Kansas Speedway is always a close race.
Correct. I know, which is why they need to bring the championship here. It doesn't matter if I've been to Arrowhead or not. I'd skip out on a Bengals game and go to the NASCAR race, please. Hmm. I did that. I do that every year, except for the Bengals play tonight, so that was a little bit different.
Yep, they do. Yep.
What a awful Monday night lineup.
Yeah, the Monday night lineup is rough.
Jets,
Dolphins. 2-0-3 teams, and then a backup quarterback versus Bo Nix.
By the way, if you're curious, my random question is it okay to not watch Monday Night Football tonight? The answer is yes.
You're going to be skipping out entirely?
Maybe.
I'll watch.
They better make something. It's one of those, like, if the game is interesting at halftime, they can bring me in. If I see 6-3 Jets at halftime, no, pass. If I see 7-4, somehow they got back-to-back safeties against the Broncos, pass. Whatever, you know, like
people don't understand. This is no shade at Arrowhead. This is the game was. I didn't miss out on much. I checked the game at the end. I was like, dang, the Chiefs won that much.
Had 2 years, I would argue.
Up next,
from an individual,
let's talk about an elite defense that once again exists in Kansas City and how Sunday Night Football ended in the new renewed conversation around ties in the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.